Before I do that, let me read just kind of devotionally, if you don't mind, out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, just encourage your heart about the gospel for a minute, and then I want to share with you a couple things from our past. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus that's full of mostly Gentiles, but some Jews, will say, "Therefore remember," in verse 11, "that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh," and everybody knows what that means, right? Everybody that's not a Jew, okay? So God, 2,000 years in, he gets Abraham and produces Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Yahweh, the true Elohim, the true God, begins to make covenant with a man and makes promises that he will bless the nations, and they're the Jewish people. Jacob's name is changed to, remember, to Israel. And so that's what he's talking about here is forever the Gentiles were outside, and Israel was in covenant with God and experiencing his blessings and back and forth with him. But so at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is the Jews, which is made in the flesh by hands, remembered that you were at that time separated from Christ. You Gentiles were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. So all Gentiles, that's everybody on the planet except the Jews, these are the things that were true for you. You were separated from the Messiah, which is Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth, strangers to the covenants. That is, covenant is God making promises with people by blood, and that was with the Jews through their worship system, and you had no hope, and you were without God in the world. And so, but now, verse 13, the shift, the new covenant, in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah, the anointed one, Joshua, if you will, the Hebrew name, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, which is a wonderful verse, obviously, that we may all know, but God operates by covenant with us, with his people. He's a God full of love and a God full of justice. And God cut covenant 2,000 years ago, not in a lamb or a goat, but in a human being. God took a Jewish man out of Galilee that was controversially born, if you will, born of a virgin, doing miracles and signs and wonders. He's got a following. It grows, it goes down. It grows, it goes down because he's teaching with power. They're trying to make him king. He didn't want to be king. He's disappointing the religious order. And this Jewish man then is turned over by the religious order to the Romans as they cut him, if you will, the cross, as they crucify him and blood flows. And what we find out is the glorious sovereignty of God, that that cross on that place, that just wretched place, was actually like an altar in the temple where God would shed blood for the moment to cover some sins. He, in Jesus, the God-man, the righteous one, washed all our sins away. And he showed that it was no mere martyrdom because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And at one point, over 500 people see him at the same time. We have more historical proof that Jesus lived, died on a cross, and rose from the dead than we have about anything else in our ancient history. And so this is the glorious thing, that by his blood, now all humanity can come into a covenant. We're no longer strangers with Yahweh. We're no longer far off. We've been brought in by, not by a work of our own or by our obedience to law, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, 14, he himself is our peace, Jesus, who has made us both one, the Jews and the Gentiles, no longer separated. He's broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law and the commandments. Jews would read that and be hacked off, because what he's saying is that the fulfillment of getting God's pleasure is no longer through the laws and the Ten Commandments. It's not through that anymore, ceremonies. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he might create in himself one new man, Jew and Gentile, in place of the two, and so making peace. Verse 16, and he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. I love that phrase. That's just too, I love the work that God killed the hostility. There was a hostility between Jews and Gentiles, between who was God's and not God's. And in Jesus, that has been broken down with passion. Okay, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers. You're no longer aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And so what that meant for, and may needs to mean something to us, it may not mean as much because we don't have Jewish history, but all the supernatural ways that God would take care of, protect, and watch over the Jewish people, the miracles in Moses' time, the amazing kingdom in David's time, all of that came because of covenant promise. God would say over and over to them, I'm treating you this way, not because you're righteous, but because I made covenant with your father Abraham. We now have entered into that. We're not strangers to the covenant any longer. We have the promise of God and the grace of God through the blood of Jesus, which is glorious that we get to enter into. So, I just wanted to say the gospel again to you. I want you to remember the gospel. You're a covenant people. You're not a people. The devil's going to try to get you, and the religious spirit is going to try to get you to try to earn God's favor in your life. You cannot earn God's favor. You have his favor in Christ Jesus. The blood, God cut covenant, not in an animal, but in a human being. A human being that got up from the dead and will never die again and is holding that covenant sure for you and I. So we are saved forever. You're as close to God as any Jewish person was in the Old Testament, even closer, I would say, because of the fullness of what God has done. So I pray that that would stir your heart. The Lord would, Psalms 51, renew the joy of your salvation. That you wouldn't let that go down. If you start losing the joy of your salvation, stoke your heart up with meditation of what it meant, the tragedy of the wrath of God if you've not made peace with him. No one goes to heaven with sin on them or in them. Does everybody understand that? And everyone in this room has sinned. But praise God, where sin has increased what? Grace has increased all the more. The blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. I was so in trouble, and now I am a covenant son of God. And I need that renewed every day so I can embrace the aging process. I can embrace the suffering process, the rejection and antichrist spirit. I need joy in my salvation, and I'm begging you, don't walk without the joy of your salvation. If you start to lose it, which is really normal, don't be condemned about it. Begin to pray like David. David prayed Psalms 51. Does everybody know what Psalms 51 is from? It's after his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband. But he's crying out, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew the joy of my salvation. We all struggle at measures and have that place, but we need that renewal in our hearts. So, Father, I pray, would you stir your people? Well, again, renew our hearts. Show us, let us not take for granted the glory of what's happened. We were so far off, destined for hell, destined for separation from you, but you so aggressively, you killed hostility. The hostility between Jew and Gentile and the hostility between us and you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross by the innocent one that my sins are paid for. And I pray for everybody in here for a fresh revival of the joy of their salvation. What has happened to us? May it, when 10 years go by and 20 and 30, may we not lose the glory of what it means to be saved, what it means to be atoned for, what it means to be forgiven and to be a covenant member with you. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Good. Thanks for letting me boast about the gospel.